What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 68 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are live every Tuesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch, and streaming in the Going for Two app, free for iOS and Android. All right, guys, it's been about 2 weeks since our last show. Our co-host Ryan was unable to make the last show. I want to give a shout out to Jason Katz and Rick Rosen to fill in for him that week. It was a great show. But tonight Ryan is back. First appearance for 2019. Man, Ryan, how you doing tonight?
Good. That's been too long. It's been what, week 15?
Yep.
The last time we're on here.
Yep.
So yeah, I've missed the anguish of me taking the playoff loss like a champ. But not ready to roll. It's draft season. It's awesome. Dynasty startup's going.
I think it's probably the second best time of the year right now. I think other than the actual season for fantasy, I think this is probably the best time. Right before the draft, everyone's prepped and ready to roll.
Dude, I love draft season. I live on YouTube just watching guys.
Good stuff. All right, and we have a special guest tonight, Mr. Adam Cooper of the Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook, a.k.a. Blitz. Adam, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. My first podcast. I'm super excited to be joining you guys and hopefully talking some good football talk.
All right, man. Good stuff, man. Glad to have you on, man. I've kind of broken in a bunch of people. Ryan made his first appearance on a podcast on my show, and a few of the guys that have kind of come on as well was their first appearance. So glad to have you on, man. We're going to have a great show tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of some news and notes, and then we'll get into a new thing that I'm calling a fake mock draft. I know, how can you have a fake mock draft when mock actually means fake? But I'll get into how we're going to do that. And then we're going to do a little bit of free agency stuff after the break. Let's go ahead and get into the first news and notes that I have on here. And I just wrote a couple things down to just kind of talk about a little bit. First thing on the list here is the Bengals come out and say that they're very comfortable with Andy Dalton as their quarterback. Now, I went on to fantasypros.com and wrote an article for my bold predictions for 2019. And one of them was that Andy Dalton would not be a Bengal and actually be replaced by Derek Carr. But this news kind of puts a little damper on that. Are you believing these reports, Ryan? Do you think it's just because he's still under contract that they're saying this right now?
I believe that he's going to be their quarterback next year. I don't believe they're comfortable with him. I mean, he's Andy Dalton, dude. He's the kid. He's the kid from A Christmas Story who gets beat up. Like, he's not good, but they also know they're drafting late in this draft class, so they're not going to get what few good quarterbacks there are, which I don't really think there's going to be anybody there after Haskins or maybe Locke. But, like, it's a weak class. Free agency is not that strong. No, I don't think they have enough cap to really sign anybody worthwhile. I think they're just sticking up for their guy because they have to.
They have
to set the foundation now because there's no other option.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you think, Adam? What do you think about the situation in Cincinnati with Andy Dalton there?
It's just because he's on the contract. I mean, he puts up mediocre seasons. He's 0-4 in the playoffs. Doesn't even have a passing touchdown in the playoffs.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was looking up before I got here, and he has 873 passing yards in 4 playoff games. That's why they're 0-4 with him.
That's a good point. Yeah, Andy Dalton. And then, of course, I think the last two seasons, obviously he was hurt this year. I think he was hurt last year at the end of the season as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the 2 years in a row getting hurt, and then, of course, when you do make the playoffs, you don't play very well. Like I said, I'm going to hold by my bold prediction, at least half of it, and think that they find some way out of Andy Dalton business. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it this year or not, but if they can find a way out, like I said, Derek Carr was my prediction. Now, I don't know if Derek Carr may re-sign with the Raiders, or maybe John Gruden keeps him on for one more year. But I do think if they have an opportunity to move on from Andy Dalton, they do take it. But with that said, I don't see an easy out for them, so they may be stuck with him for one more year at least. We'll kind of stick in that division a little bit. And, Ryan, I'm going to go to you first since you actually live in Pittsburgh and you got some news that you heard today on the radio. But the thing I wrote down was about Art Rooney softening his stance on Antonio Brown with the potential he could come back. And then his teammates, Pouncey and Juju, came out and said that they would welcome Brown back into the locker room. But you have some reports that you heard on Pittsburgh radio today. Go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
So that is true. Rooney said that he'd take him back. I think that is they kind of like tested and saw what was out there trade wise and possibly didn't see what they wanted to see. But Jeremy Fowler for ESPN had a report today. It's must read. It's about like the issues what started with AB and how basically they've let him get away with whatever he wanted since he got there. He missed his meetings before every Wednesday. He shows up late to everything. They said he'd walk in, they'd be like, it's $1,000 fine for showing up late. He's like, I don't care, I'm rich. Like, those were his words he'd say to Tomlin.
Wow.
And at camp, he's the only player to stay off campus where everyone else is in dorms. And he had no respect for our players. But teammates love him. They all say he's a hard worker. And they're like, you know what? He's there. He works hard. He does well on the field. We don't care. It's so weird. It's like the players are taking sides. And then Tomlin went on record telling multiple players that they're going to put up with AB shenanigans until he doesn't produce.
Wow.
So basically saying they'll get rid of him once he sucks. But now all this came up, and there's no way he's going to be back.
There's no way. I agree. I just read something on RotoWorld that apparently Terrell Owens is his mentor, which I didn't even know that. As a 49er fan, I had no idea. But, I mean, it kind of fits the mold there. I think that T.O. came out and said that A.B. does want out of Pittsburgh. Obviously, T.O.'s got connections to San Francisco. That's where A.B. wants to go. So I think there's no way that he's back. I don't care what Rooney says about, you know, we'll welcome him back. I just don't think there's any way that he comes back to the Steelers. What about you, Adam? What do you think of the situation with A.B.?
If they want him back or not, I don't think they can afford to have him back. The whole thing with Le'Veon Bell and now Brown, it's – do you want those type of players in your locker room, or do you want multiple players like that in your locker room? Because it sets bad examples for the incoming rookies, free agents. You know, will they want to come and play with a guy like him, even though he is good? Will they want to deal with the off the field stuff? Because that affects everybody in the locker room, and it sends a bad signal.
Yeah,
and you know, it can mess up our chemistry, and their window is closing. Especially, more than likely, they're going to lose Bell this year. I don't know. I don't think it's worth it right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I actually asked this to my two guests on my last podcast, and they were both – obviously, this was 2 weeks ago, so things have changed a little bit, but they were both on board with him coming back. They said he's too good to give up on, and the trade market wouldn't be as good enough for them. But I went on record saying that I think he's gone. He's as good as gone. I think they'll get less than they probably should for him. You know, obviously, they got to get rid of him because of the situation with just being toxic. And I think that he is playing somewhere else next year. Now, as you can notice, I'm a 49ers fan. I'm a little bit on the fence of whether or not I want him to come to our team or not. I don't want those shenanigans. You know, we're a young team. We have a young quarterback. We got young, you know, we're young all over the place. We're probably one of the youngest teams in the league. And to have a guy like that come in as a veteran player, you know, and acting that way, I don't know if that sets a good precedent for our team. So I'd love to have him talent-wise. I just don't know if I want the off-the-field stuff as well. So I guess we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks if they get rid of him or not.
I was actually going to ask you that question, if you'd want him there.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth. I think I was all for it when I first heard about it. I was kind of like, all right, so Bell had issues with some of the front office, now Antonio Brown. I was like, all right, well, there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe the front office is kind of pushing these players too much. But the more and more that I've kind of learned over this, I think it's just Antonio Brown's situation. I just think that's just him. That's his personality. I think over his first few years, I viewed him as a humble guy. He didn't seem to be that flashy guy, but once he got to that stardom where he's that 1,000-yard top receiver in the NFL, he kind of changed. He became a diva, and it's kind of showing more and more now. And we've had enough divas in San Francisco. I don't need any more. We had T.O., and we got rid of him. So I think I'll pass on A.B., but you know, if he comes there, I'll support him. Hopefully he brings our team a championship.
I did support Le'Veon Bell's stance, by the way. Just throwing that out there before our next point. A.B., not so much.
Good point. All right, the next one I got here, and this is obviously Super Bowl coming up here pretty soon, the Patriots. A lot of talk is around Rob Gronkowski mulling his retirement. I think he mulled retirement last year as well. Two questions for you. One, do you think he retires? And two, if he retires, or is this game in Super Bowl, does this sort of impact his decision? Meaning if they win Super Bowl, does he retire, kind of like, you know, leaving out on top? Or do you think if they lose it, does he stick around for a year? Adam, we'll go to you first, too. What do you think about this situation with Gronkowski?
I think either way, win or lose, he retires. I mean, he's only played two full seasons, and that's, I think, was his rookie and sophomore years in the league. He's missed, I think, almost 30 games. You know, it's – I don't know. All the surgery he's had, I don't know if he even should, because, you know, he has to be in pain. I mean – even after the surgeries, and then the time where he doesn't get surgery until after the offseason, I don't know how often you can actually play through pain before you just decide, look, I've won Super Bowls, I've been called the best tight end in the league. What more does he really need to stay for other than he's young enough to keep doing it? He's only like 29.
Right.
He can keep doing it, but what accolades has he not accomplished? I mean, other than Super Bowl MVP, which who knows this week or next week?
Right, so, right. That's a good point. Yeah, I like that. He's already pretty much done everything he could possibly do as a tight end. What about you, Ryan? What do you think of the situation? Do you think this Super Bowl impacts his decision at all?
No, I think he's retiring, man. I mean, minus last week, through the entire season, he looked like Frankenstein running down the field. Like, he was straight up. His arms were at his side, and he looked uncomfortable. He's had back problems since college. It's been a reoccurring thing. It's not like a new injury. He contemplated retiring last year. Might as well. He has money. He's been on record saying he's been saving. He's lived off endorsement money. So I think he's gone. Yeah. And they better pray that TJ Hockenson falls to him.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And I'm kind of with y'all. I think that he retires no matter what. And I think with his situation, I think his personality, you know, his sort of off the field stuff that he's kind of created for himself gives him a career after football. You know, everyone knows his dancing in the off season, and he's gone on, you know, like I think he's been on Saturday Night Live and a couple of things. I think his personality sort of gives him a career outside of football, where some players that get to that age that they don't have that sort of outgoing personality. They just retire and they're done. They usually hang on a little bit longer. But the fact that he probably has multiple offers from multiple networks to come, you know, be a color commentator or whatever, I think that he does retire this year and goes into either the broadcast booth or does something in regards to with football to stay close to it. But I think he does ultimately retire. I agree with both of you.
Yeah, he's talked about acting before too.
And yeah. He's also been in WWE at WrestleMania. I mean, you know, one of his closest friends is actually a WWE superstar, so that's always open too.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's that?
Mojo Rawley.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I think they actually played together in college, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh. Nice, nice. Wow. I did not know that. That's a good point
there. I didn't either.
All right, let's see. What else we got next on the list here? All right, well, we're going to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers here, and they're in contract talks with Big Ben. Obviously, coming down to the end of his career, potentially going into the season without AB, without Le'Veon Bell. How many more good years of Big Ben do you think we get? Do we think we see any more 5,000-yard season like he had this past year? Ryan, we'll go to you first.
I don't know about the 5,000-yard season. Life's going to be a lot harder without AB, whether they fight or not, and he's had issues with him or not. He's still on the field, but he's there, the best receiver in football. And it pains me to say because I hate Steelers, but AB's unbelievable on the field. And I think that affects something because, I mean, Juju's not doing it himself. We saw against Cincinnati the big difference that offense looked without him, without Lev Bell.
Yep.
But a lot's changing. They lost their line coach, who was big for them, who Ben had a really good relationship with. I don't understand why he'd re-sign other than money grab. But, man. That team needs to make a decision whether they're rebuilding, or trying to win now.
Yep. I think they can still win now. I think they think, oh, we'll just plug in James Conner. We got Juju Smith-Schuster there. I think that we can just, you know, plug and play and keep moving on. But that may not be the case. I mean, Antonio Brown's a transcendent talent. You know, I know as good as Juju is, I don't think he's Antonio Brown, at least not yet. What about you, Adam? What do you think of this situation with Big Ben and his contract talks?
His 5,000 yard season's done. This year was the year. He's still good enough to play quarterback. He's good enough to lead a team. You know, I think he has two, maybe three good seasons left. But the point is, do they want to rebuild? You know, and their point where they don't have a quarterback to rebuild with right now.
Right.
And they have Josh Dobbs. I don't think that's going to work out at all.
Mason Rudolph last year.
So that could be something. But then again, the type of offense he played in college, he hasn't, other than preseason, he hasn't went against really NFL defense.
That's true.
And when he is in, he hasn't played NFL starters. He's used, you know, he's played against the second string, the third string guys. And, you know, even though, granted, you still have to be good to go against the third stringers, that's a big difference when you're going against, you know, Jason Everett, Darius Slay, yep. Kyle Fuller. I mean, and then going against somebody that's, like I said, won't even make the team.
Right. Yep. Agreed. I got a special place in my heart for Josh Dobbs, just benching him. I actually played preseason DFS, Daily Fantasy. And Josh Dobbs, I drafted him in my on my DFS team, and I think he was 0.1% owned in the game against Green Bay. And he went bonkers in that second half and won me $1,800. So Josh Dobbs got a special place in my heart forever because of that. He actually won me this computer that I'm looking at right now. So definitely loving that. All right, so let's touch on one more topic, and then we'll get into our fake mock draft. Cole Beasley, he went on Twitter and kind of had a Twitter rant, basically calling out the front office, saying the front office sort of dictates where the targets go, and just his overall frustration. I mean, Beasley, I believe, had a career year this year, and he's coming out saying this now. He's a free agent. What are your thoughts on this, Ryan, in the Cole Beasley situation?
I think it's funny because we all know it's true. Like, we know that Jerry Jones runs Dallas, and that no matter who the coach is, they're just a figurehead, and they do what he wants. Like, it's really funny, and it's telling. I mean, going into free agency, he should have kept his mouth shut. Like, I don't think it's a good idea for the contract talk, but I completely believe it, man. I mean, he gets open. He's not exciting, but he catches the ball. He moves sticks.
Yep.
You'd think Dak would need that with – I mean, they didn't pick up Cooper till halfway through the year.
Yep.
Yeah, they need targets there.
I think I saw a stat where he went from about just under 7 targets a game to under 4 targets when they got Amari Cooper. So his production dropped off dramatically. I think he became more efficient with it because he wasn't getting those double teams that he was getting when it was Amari Cooper wasn't there, because they were more concentrated on Amari Cooper. So that kind of helped his efficiency, which gave him a career season. But I think overall the targets were down. What about you, Adam? What do you think of this situation with Cole Beasley?
Like Ryan said, he can move the chains. He has really good hands. I think with Amari Cooper being there and with him wanting to get Michael Gallup the ball, I mean, he got almost, I think, 90 targets, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 85 or something, which isn't bad for basically what he should be as a slot guy.
Yep.
You know, when Amari came there, he sure already knew that he wasn't going to be the number one receiver. You know, especially when Dak and Amari were actually clicking, he sure knew right then and there that the only times he was going to get the ball is when he was actually open.
Yeah, it's funny because it almost seems like he was happier with losing and getting targets than he was with winning. Because, I mean, Dallas is pretty good this year. After they got Amari Cooper, they had a pretty good offense. They were moving the ball, made the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs in a while. They got their first playoff win in forever. And he comes out and he's unhappy. It's like, okay, so were you happy before when you were losing and getting targets? It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you're winning. You should be all about winning. But I think it kind of hurt his stock a little bit with the free agent market. I do think he'll sign with another team. I don't think he's back with Dallas. But I think there are some teams that will be interested in him. He's still got some skills left. I believe he's 29 this year. Might be going into his year 30 age for this year. But I think that he's still got a lot left in the tank and should get a decent contract this offseason.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go with, like, a young quarterback. For, like, a safety blanket.
Yeah, I agree.
Like a Buffalo.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, I like that spot for him. All right, so this fake mock draft that I sort of teased at the beginning of the show, basically what we're going to do here is I took 12 teams, all non-playoff teams, that are all looking for skill position players in this upcoming draft. They're all looking for either running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, and they're probably going to draft one of those guys fairly high. I put them in no particular order at all. I'll just kind of name these real quick. Bills, Raiders, Dolphins, Giants, Jets, Redskins, Cardinals, Jags, Bengals, 49ers, and the Lions. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to go through and do like a fake mock draft. So these teams are just in any kind of random order. We'll go round robin style and draft some rookies to these teams that we think fits best with them. And that hopefully when the NFL draft does come, if you own one of these rookies in your dynasty team, that you are happy with their landing spot. And kicking off with the number one pick is Ryan. He has the Buffalo Bills. Ryan, who you got going to the Bills?
I'm taking DK Metcalf. I was going back and forth on him and N'Keal Harry for them. Harry's a little bit more polished, but DK Metcalf, ridiculous, man. He's 6'4", he's 230 pounds. People are saying he's going to run low 4.4s. I got to find the stat thing. He was one of the fastest recorded speeds running in college football this year.
Wow.
He hit 22.6 miles per hour. Like, that's a big man flying down the field. He wins jump balls. He missed a bunch of games this year. He just got cleared today from his surgeries, cleared for football activities. I think he's going to light the draft world on fire. He's going to be a young quarterback's best friend, especially somebody who can just chuck it downfield yep. and let him go up and win it. Metcalf's awesome. He's what we want Josh Gordon to be. Like, he's that kind of talent, but yeah, he's not the head case.
That's the kind of comp I was kind of looking for there. I've kind of heard it a little bit, you know, Josh Gordon without the off-the-field issues, which would be an amazing thing for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, I think they got a pretty good thing going there with Josh Allen. I think he showed what he can do there. I think with that big arm, Metcalf's speed and size, I think that's definitely a perfect fit there. All right,
I started that comp, by the way. Yeah. But now he's a monster.
Good stuff. All right, pick number two is the, I don't know what to call them, Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, London Raiders. I don't know what they are right now, but the Raiders. Adam, who do you got going to the Raiders?
Buffalo wide receiver Anthony Johnson. He's not super popular right now. I've watched him a lot, though. He is super underrated. I mean, he's a fairly sized guy. I think he's 6'3". He has great hands. I mean, I watched the Senior Bowl, I think it was yesterday, and he was very, very close to catching a ball with just one hand with his helmet in super tight coverage. If it wasn't for when they were coming down with the ball, the defender got his hand in there just in time, it would have been probably the catch of the Senior Bowl. I think he'll, like Ryan said, he'll help a young quarterback. I mean, I think Josh Allen could use somebody like him. I think Derek Carr would love him. He's kind of similar to Amari Cooper, honestly. You know, he's a big presence. He has better hands than Cooper, if you ask me. I mean, Cooper had a problem with drops. I don't think Anthony Johnson will have that problem. Right. I mean, he worked with Tyree Jackson, too, the quarterback for Buffalo, who's very streaky, doesn't have great ball placement, but yet he was still one of the top receivers for – not only the team, but in college football. He just didn't get the recognition because he plays for University of Buffalo.
Right, right. Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've said this on the podcast a few times. I don't watch a lot of college football. Most of my you know, sort of studying comes when it gets to this point in the draft where I'm just learning these guys' names. And honestly, I didn't have that guy on any of my list, so I'm going to add him to my list to kind of look at on YouTube and see how good he is. So good stuff there. Definitely off the beaten path there. I didn't expect you to go that route. And I'm up next with the Miami Dolphins, and I was thinking that it would go receiver with those first two picks. So now I got a decision to make here, because I do like N'Keal Harry for the Dolphins, but I'll stick with my original pick that I was going to go with. The Dolphins won't have a quarterback next year. It won't be Ryan Tannehill. His contract is way too big for the production they've got from him. They need to get a quarterback. You know, Dwayne Haskins is sitting here. I think that Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback in this draft. Now, granted, it's not the best quarterback draft. It's not like last year where we had five guys going the first round. But if the Dolphins are going to get a quarterback, they need to get one now. And I think it is Dwayne Haskins, who's been, you know, pretty amazing in college. I don't have a whole lot of stuff on him as far as stats, but everything I've heard about him is he is NFL ready and could step right into that starting role in Miami. Now, I don't think they'll come out and be like a very good team next year, so he'll have some growing pains for sure, but new coach there. I think the new coach kind of ties himself to Dwayne Haskins and builds this team around him. So I'm going with Dwayne Haskins for the Miami Dolphins.
I'm so mad you made that pick. I thought I had a clear path to him for the Giants. He's the only QB I have, like, consider a first rounder. I know more are gonna go, but he's good, man. He completed 70% of his passes, threw 50 touchdowns. He's good.
Good stuff. All right, but, let's go ahead. Go ahead and stick with you, because you got the New York Giants. You're next up on the board, so you were gonna go quarterback. So now, what do you do?
I know, I was complaining about you sniping me. Still going quarterback. Going Drew Lock. Drew Locke's more potential than anything. He's a huge arm. He's sporadic. He takes chances. But you know what, man? It's a perfect situation for him. He can sit and learn behind Eli for a year. He's going to go in there with one of the best young running backs in the game. Talent at wide receiver. I mean, he has OBJ, the best receiver in the game. Best young receiver in the game. Second best receiver in the game. And he's got Shepard. He has Ingram. He's a ton of talent there to help him survive and learn. Hopefully they get some other line to protect him, but I'm good. Drew Lock. I like what he showed at Senior Bowl so far. He was the best one there. I think he's easily QB2.
Good stuff. And I just want to kind of go back here real quick. We got a comment on Facebook from Jerry Wilk. He mentioned Anthony Johnson has 25 touchdowns in 2 years. That's a pretty pretty amazing stat there. So going back to Anthony Johnson a little bit. So, yeah, that's a pretty nice stat. So I like that pick a lot. All right, Adam, you're up next. You got the New York Jets. Who are you picking with this pick here?
I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel from South Carolina. I think they need a explosive playmaker, and Samuels is looking really good at the Senior Bowl this week. I don't know if they end up going early to get him. I think they can probably give him a second round, but he's someone that can actually help Sam Darnold. I think he'll make Sam Darnold feel a lot more comfortable. And a receiver's a big need. I mean, outside of who they have, like Robbie Anderson. I mean, that's really much, I think, really it. And wide receiver or maybe tight end has to be the biggest need offensive-wise, like for the skill position. Granted, they need an offensive line to protect him more too, but if they're going to get him to actually perform better, they're going to need a wide receiver to pair with him.
All right, good stuff. I like that pick there. Ryan, I know you're a big Deebo supporter there. What do you think of that pick right there?
I love Deebo. I mean, I don't know his fit with the Jets, but second round there, if that's what they're going with, I love it because what's their pick right now in the draft? Seventh or something like that?
Yeah, somewhere like that. Seventh pick, I think. Seventh, sixth, somewhere in that range.
They're probably not going to pick a receiver in the first round, so Deebo there in the second is perfect. He's explosive. His run after the catch is great. He was putting people on skates at the practice at the Senior Bowl. And he's coming off he was injured a lot this year, so I think his production was down a little bit. So I think he's a great addition to it. And they can move him inside, outside. He's one of my favorite receivers in the draft. He's ranked sixth currently for me, but huge fan.
Good stuff, good stuff. Yeah, I think Robbie Anderson actually is a free agent this year too. I think he probably re-signs with the Jets. But if he doesn't re-sign, that's a good place to sort of fill in there and draft a rookie and get started with that guy. So I agree. I like that pick a lot.
They better re-sign him, man.
Yeah,
I agree. They have $138 million, and him and Darnold actually connected.
Yep, agreed. Agreed 100%. All right, so the next up, I have my team. No, I'm sorry, not my team. The team that I live the closest to, let's put it that way. The Washington Redskins. Obviously, I hear a lot of radio with living here in the Washington, D.C. area. And I think their biggest need, honestly, is wide receiver. I mean, they've got, you know, Jamison Crowder, who couldn't stay healthy last year. They got Josh Doctson, who just never came into his own. They, you know, picked up Paul Richardson in the offseason. He got injured and was never quite the same again. They just need a receiver. And I think the best receiver left on the board right now is N'Keal Harry. Obviously, he's right now probably the consensus number one overall dynasty pick in most places that I've seen. I have Metcalf myself as number one, but everyone else I've seen is N'Keal Harry. A big receiver. His biggest knock on him is that he can't beat press coverage, which could be a big thing for him, and he's not quite as good at coming out of his breaks as he should be. But I think overall, big receiver, high points the ball. He can catch sort of that jump ball in the end zone, be a red zone threat. Whoever the quarterback is, Alex Smith or somebody else that they pick up, I think N'Keal Harry will be a great pickup for the Redskins if they can land him. All right, Ryan, you are up next with the Arizona Cardinals. Who you got for the Cardinals?
I'm picking the guy that I want my Ravens to pick, Calvin Harmon. He's probably my favorite receiver in the draft. He is smooth. He's a fantastic route runner. He's big, 6'3", 220. He high points the ball. He can run after the catch. He's an animal blocker. Like, he actually takes pride in blocking for a receiver. He's everything you want for your alpha receiver. I think he gives that perfect target for Josh Rosen across from Christian Kirk. I think they complement each other with Kirk's speed and his size and prowess on the outside. So, you know, heavy wide receiver, I guess, since running back doesn't exist anymore.
All right, great pick there. All right, now we're going to the Jags, who had a season that they didn't expect. They were good last year. You know, obviously in 2017 they made it to the championship game in the AFC and then lost to the Patriots. They've got some needs now for an offense. Who do you got going to the Jags, Adam?
I think it's time to move on from Blake Bortles. I think they go Daniel Jones, the best quarterback left after you guys took the rest of them. Jones, I think, is a huge upgrade from Bortles. The arm is, I think, better than Bortles. Daniel Jones, I think, is smarter, like has a better football IQ than Blake Bortles does too. Blake Bortles, his decision making is super questionable at times. He doesn't seem like a real leader, which I think Daniel Jones can be for them. And then hopefully after that, they give him some help. Because like you said, they have a ton of needs on the skill position for, you know, for whoever their next quarterback is to actually be successful.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick there. I think quarterback's what they need, and he is the best available right now. If you step into the offense, you got, you know, Leonard Fournette. You got some okay receivers. Obviously, Marcus Lee will come back from injury. We don't know how he'll be. But they got some decent receivers there. They can add some pieces in the draft or in free agency. And that defense is going to make any quarterback look good. Basically, just don't turn the ball over, hand the ball off to Fournette 20 times a game, and, you know, just get that little bit that you need. Rookie quarterback, just don't turn the ball over, and you'll be fine. And I think that's a great pick there. I love the quarterback going to the Jags. So good stuff
there. Yeah. I mean, he's a game manager. And, like, as a quarterback, like, he's not, like he said, he's not going to take a lot of chances, not going to make dumb decisions. And a game manager is perfect for Jacksonville with that defense.
Yep. 100% agree. All right, so my next pick is the Tennessee Titans, and I had a tough time with this one only because I'm a proud owner of Corey Davis in my Dynasty League, and I didn't want to go receiver here because I'm afraid that it might take away from Corey Davis a little bit, but I think it's what they need. I think they got Derrick Henry. We saw what he can do at the second half of the season. I don't think he'd be quite that good next year, but he will be good enough to be their running back. Quarterbacks are off the board that they would want, so they can't go quarterback and, you know, replace Mariota, so they'll have him for one more season. And I think there's a couple good receivers still left on the board, and I'm gonna go a little bit off the rails here. I'm gonna go with Marquise Brown. He's sort of the anomaly here in the receiver class. Most of these guys are these big 6'3", 6'4", 200+ pound guys. Marquise Brown is under 6 foot. He's a speedster. He's the guy that's sort of the explosive underneath guy. I think that he can be that piece to the Titans, that sort of explosive piece in the receiving core that they need to sort of free up Corey Davis a little bit more to do what he needs to do. Because right now it's just basically Corey Davis and a bunch of other people that don't really impress. So I think a Marquise Brown to the Titans is what I'm going with here.
A fun fact with him, too, is he's actually Antonio Brown's cousin.
Yes, that is right. And they call him Hollywood, too. So
yeah. You call him we call him Hollywood around here, not Marquise.
Good stuff. All right, let's see who's up next. Ryan, you have the Cincinnati Bengals. Who are you going with for the Bengals?
Yeah, I really thought you were going to snipe me again, the way you were talking around the wide receiver. I'm going TJ Hockenson. Tyler Eifert's done, man. He's beaten, broken, injured. Forever. Hawkins is an animal. Like, he's 6'5", 243. He blocks like a lineman, but he averaged over 15 yards a catch for a tight end. He's a deep threat. He's everything you want out of a tight end. He's first-round talent, and I think he adds a good red zone threat to go with Boyd and A.J. Green. They have the running game. He's fantastic in the running game. He's a good receiver. He opens that middle of the field up even more. I love Hockenson there. I think that kid's going to be a start tight end. He's baby Gronk.
All right, good stuff there. Good stuff. So I know you like Noah Fant. You don't want to pick Noah Fant in this spot?
I thought about Fant. I like Hockenson a little bit more just because he's a more well-rounded. Fant's more of the wide-out type wide receiver, right. One you can split out more.
He's not really a
Hockenson's
blocker.
More of the in-line. He's going to do a little bit of everything, well-rounded type guy.
Good stuff.
I think that fits for what the Bengals do, especially with a weak quarterback for probably another year or two, and a run game behind Joe the Main Man Mixon.
Yes, you love Mixon, and I've kind of come around on him. I know I was hating on him last offseason, but I think you came out winning on that one. All right, Adam, you have my team, the 49ers, which I was looking at my team thinking, you know, what skill players do we really need? So I'm kind of curious as to what you kind of looked at my team and thought what we needed as far as skill players go. So what you got for my team at number 11?
I'd go Alabama running back Josh Jacobs. Mm. He's gaining a lot of momentum. I think by the time the draft gets here, he'll be a first-round pick. I think having a bruiser back like Josh Jacobs, who's super hard to take down, he reminds me a little bit of Kareem Hunt. I was super high on him when he came out of Toledo. I watched him a lot since I'm in Michigan. He's hard to take down. I think Jerick McKinnon is more of should be the third down back or the receiving back. I'm not 100% sure McKinnon would be able to hold up a whole season as the lead man. So I wouldn't even take that chance if I was them. If Josh Jacobs is there round two, or if they trade that second pick in the draft, go farther back with, say, the Patriots, they wanted Kyler Murray or something, I think they go and take Josh Jacobs.
All right. That's not where I thought you would go. I thought you would go receiver there, but I like it. I think, like you mentioned, we got some injury-prone running backs. McKinnon's coming off a season-ending injury. Who knows how he'll do. And our boy that couldn't stay healthy all year, and I don't know why can't think of his name right
now. Breida, man?
Yeah, Breida, thank you. I don't know why I was like,
Breida's tough as nails, man. He gets no respect.
Yeah, he gets no respect, but he can't stay on the field. I mean, every game it seemed like I would play him in DFS. I get the alert, Breida's out with a hamstring injury. Breida's out with this. I'm like, oh, my God, just finish the game for once. But I think in that offense, you put a guy like Josh Jacobs in there, I think with that offense with Shanahan, I think that he can turn any running back. You know, we kind of saw it this year with all the injuries that we had. We were putting back guys back there that were like lifetime special teamers, and they were, you know, running all over defenses. So I think that that would be an excellent pickup for us, and if we can get him, I'd be ecstatic. All right. Ironically, I think you had my team, and I see that Detroit Lions banner in the background. It looks like I have your team. I didn't know that coming into it, or I would have switched this around. But so going with the Lions team, obviously they drafted a running back last year who seems like he's pretty good. I don't think they need to go. They go with running back. Obviously, Matt Stafford's there. They're not going with a quarterback. And since Ryan passed on this guy before, I'm going to go ahead and take him now. That's tight end Noah Fant. I think that he fits what the Detroit wants to do. I think that they wanted Eric Ebron to be that guy previously, but he just never could, you know, work out there in Detroit. I think Noah Fant comes in. He's a receiving tight end. Lions, you know, pass the ball quite a bit in that offense. I think it gives them a big target in addition to Kenny Galladay down in the red zone. And I think that Fant fits perfectly with what they want to do. They still have some decent blocking tight ends if they want to go with that route with Kerryon Johnson. But Fant gives them a ton of flexibility and sort of fills in for that that void that Golden Tate left. You know, sort of that slot receiver in the middle of the field that they kind of missed. And he's a much bigger target than Golden Tate is, obviously. So you're a Lions fan, Adam. So what do you think of that pick there of a Noah Fant? If you got Noah Fant, are you happy with that?
It's the ideal pick. It really is. Like I said, once we lost Golden Tate and then Marvin Jones got hurt on top of that, we didn't know what to do. We were giving the ball to Kenny Galladay, and then Kerryon Johnson got hurt. We were trying to feed Blunt and Zenner, and that just wasn't working. Any help, any wide receiver, any tight end, I'm hoping tight end maybe at 8. I think one of them can get their stock risen enough where a top 10 pick might be possible. If not, I'm all in favor in trading an 8th pick and going and getting Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenson, Irvin Smith from Alabama. We definitely need a tight end. I don't know. I don't even know how Ebron did what he did in Indianapolis.
Ebron's good, man.
He is. I just don't know how it did not work.
Yeah,
he have to be the number one guy here. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know how it didn't work either, because I loved him in fantasy. You know, when he's in Detroit, I kept drafting him every year, and every year he kind of burned me a little bit. And then in the offseason, I'm kind of hating on Ebron in Indianapolis. I'm like, no, he's not going to be that good. Ryan, of course, has to go and put him in his, I think, top 10 as far as tight end. He was top 7 tight end. I was like, Ryan, you're crazy. This guy can't catch the ball. He drops touchdowns like left and right. Of course, he goes out and almost breaks the Rob Gronkowski record for touchdowns on a season and, you know, has an amazing season. So, you know, what do I know about anything?
Dude, tight ends just take a long time to break out.
Yeah, this is true.
If you need a tight end, the Ravens will gladly trade you one of her four.
Yeah, you definitely got plenty of tight ends. Yes, you do. You got tons of tight ends there. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to do a little bit of a free agent game. We're going to make all three of us will become agents of these free agent players, and we're going to try to get these guys signed to a team. So everyone hang out there, and we'll be right back.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
Chiba Geechee Sway. Check it out. Volume 1 of this joint.
I ski in Switzerland, down in Morocco, gambling, handling. Be out for my crooks back in the BXX, collect wines, Italian designs, Quicksilver, paint the
canvas. All right, guys, welcome back. I am here with Ryan and Adam, and we are talking some Dynasty football. As always, once the show has been complete, I post this onto all your podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you get a podcast, you can find us. Always streaming in the Going for Two app as well. We want to thank our sponsor, StatRoute. They had just released their NBA product. I actually have an optimizer as well built in that you can use for daily fantasy. A lot of top-level, high-level stats. If you use my promo code G42MBA, so that's G42NBA, you can save 25% off your initial payment there. So good stuff for StatRoute. You know, they're doing awesome things over there, so check them out for sure, StatRoute.com. All right, guys, we're going to become free. We're going to become agents now, NFL agents. And I'm going to assign each of y'all some players here, and I want you to try to pick a team that's going to, one, help this player out with their stats. Obviously, we're a fantasy guy. We're fantasy guys here, so we want to put these guys in the best position possible to put up some good numbers, but also try to think of, you know, guys that, you know, make some money. They want to get some money where they're going, so think of teams that have a lot of cap space that can use the position. And we'll kick it off with Adam here. He's got a quarterback that's, of course, been talked about quite a bit this year, and that's Mr. Nick Foles. Adam, you are Nick Foles' agent. Where do you want him to go?
I want him to go to Jacksonville. Good stuff. I think he's young enough to fit in perfectly with the defense that if they get Foles, their Super Bowl window is wide open again.
Yep, I agree 100%.
And I think he'll make it better. If they end up signing Foles, they can use that first rounder or somewhere in the draft early to get a top big wide receiver. And I think the sky's the limit for them then. Blake Bortles has held them back for way too long. Last year, I think with Foles, I think they at least go to the Super Bowl. They get Foles this year, I think they can be right in contention every year.
Yep, I agree. I think Foles is the perfect fit there. I think that he's a leader. I mean, we've seen it. He took off Carson Wentz. The team rallies behind him. I think he shows it. I think that team needs a leader. I think that, you know, when you've got a younger team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, they need a leader. And Blake Bortles is not that guy. So I think Nick Foles in Jacksonville is the perfect fit. All right, sticking with the quarterback theme here. Next up, free agent quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Ryan, you're his agent. Where do you want him to go?
I got sniped again, but I really want him in Jacksonville. I was going to push that hard. But send Teddy Bridgewater to Washington, man. The Redskins, Alex Smith ain't playing this year. That knee brace he's in is enormous. It looks like a second person's attached to his leg. But they have a fantastic defense. They need a quarterback who's not going to make mistakes. That's what he did when he came to Minnesota before he destroyed his leg. They need some weapons there, but that's what the draft for, that's what cap space for. Bridgewater is not going to ask you for a ton of money yet. We're going to take a deal where we're going to sign We're going to do a prove-it deal with some bonuses and stuff. Bring him to Washington, and he's going to help turn that team around. They just missed the playoffs. Bridgewater is a good enough quarterback to get there. He's similar to Alex Smith, but a little more talented. He's a former first-round pick for a reason.
All right, good stuff. I like that landing spot. All right, so my guy that I'm going to have, I'm the NFL agent for Mr. Tevin Coleman, who hurt his free agent stock this year. You know, obviously Freeman went down in the, I think, week two, week three, something like that. Tevin Coleman steps in. Every dynasty owner of Tevin Coleman was like, yes, finally we get to see Tevin Coleman break out. He's going to have a huge season. We got an RB1 for, you know, forever now. And, of course, he kind of goes out and kind of duds a little bit and hurts his value. I don't think his choices are going to be quite as good as they would have been had he not actually played much this year. I think he would have been sort of that unknown, could have got a large contract. But if I'm going after the biggest amount of money with the most amount of stats that I can possibly rack up for my career, I'm trying to get Tevin Coleman signed to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Damian Williams, yes, he does look good, but it's been a very small sample size. We've seen Williams, you know, in Miami. Obviously, he came to Kansas City as a third round, you know, a third string running back there. He got his chance because of Spencer Ware and, of course, the Kareem Hunt situation. I think if I can get Tevin Coleman in Kansas City, I think he revives his career. He becomes instantly a top running back for fantasy purposes. Kansas City's got enough money to pay him. Maybe not quite the big contract that he would have gotten otherwise, but I think Tevin Coleman in Kansas City would fit perfectly. Now, if we're going with a more realistic expectation, I think that he actually ends up as the Mark Ingram replacement in New Orleans. I think Ingram goes on and gets his big contract somewhere else, and then Tevin Coleman just kind of goes over to the Saints and fills that role perfectly for them. He's still going to be sort of in a timeshare with Kamara, but he gets to play the Falcons twice a year. That's my realistic expectation, but I think if I can get him with the Chiefs, I'd love to. All right, let's see who's up next. We got Adam Humphreys. Ryan, give me your thoughts on the Tevin Coleman thing. And then, actually, no, I'm sorry, I skipped over Adam. Adam, we're going to you first. Mark Ingram, where is he going?
I say give Derek Carr some help and make him a Raider. I mean, he's a powerful back. He's still on a fairly young side for the most part. He can be basically what they wanted Marshawn and even Doug Martin to be. I think it'd take a tremendous amount of pressure off of Derek Carr and whatever receiver he does get to help him. And I think that's the perfect pairing, honestly. I was going to aim for maybe Miami because they had Kenyon Drake in Miami, and they can kind of do what the Saints did. But I think the Raiders need a running back like Mark Hunt or Mark Ingram.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I actually did a bold prediction piece, and that's where I had Mark Ingram landing was with the Raiders and predicted that he'd be a top 10 running back in fantasy as well on top of that. So I love that call. I think Mark Ingram fits perfectly in with the Raiders. I think that he does go and gets his big contract. And Mark Ingram, because of the way he was treated early on in his season, he's a 30-year running back, a 30-year-old running back, or getting ready to be a 30-year-old running back, but he doesn't have quite as much mileage on his tires because early in his career he wasn't used very often. So I think Ingram's got a few good years left, and I think the Raiders would use him perfectly. All right, Ryan, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit. I want to get your opinion on Tevin Coleman. I know I kind of saw you in my little window over here. He's scoffing at Tevin Coleman going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I actually wanted to go on talk about Mark Ingram, but yeah, no, I don't know if I don't know how Tevin Coleman is, but no, I like him with the Chiefs. Be honest, he can be a nice timeshare back because Damian Williams was actually decent.
Yep.
But there's been a counteroffer. I know there's been a counteroffer from Mark Ingram. Baltimore Ravens are going to try to sign him.
As his agent.
You want him to go to a team that's going to pay him maybe a little bit less, but it's going to give him Super Bowl aspirations. Because, in all honesty, he's what Gus said. They want Gus Edwards to be. Gus Edwards is big and runs forward with a little bit of power. There's nothing else. But Mark Ingram, with that run attack, will your client accept my deal?
Adam, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Ryan is a Ravens fan and he really, really, really wants Mark Ingram.
Way too much.
On my list of teams, the Ravens were on there for him.
All right. We'll offer him a decent amount of money. Not a lot, but enough.
Good stuff. All right, Ryan, you got Adam Humphries, a receiver for the Bucks there. I think that he's been overshadowed a little bit with Mike Evans there. They got Goodwin. I don't know if D-Jax re-signs with them, but Humphries will be sort of the odd man out. You got him staying in with the Bucks or going somewhere else?
I think he's going to leave. The Bucks kind of overshadowed him. They need to get their tight ends involved. He can get more money everywhere because, you know what, quarterbacks need their dump-off guy, and you know we're going to send him to Kansas City.
Everybody's going to Kansas City.
No, I lied. We're not taking him to Kansas City. We're gonna send him to Indy.
Oh, Indy, okay.
The Colts have their field stretcher and T.Y. Hilton. Hopefully they're gonna draft themselves a big receiver. But all they have in the middle is their tight ends. They run two tight ends a lot. Somebody like Humphries is safe, he gets open. Luck used to have that type of receiver before. I think a guy like him's perfect there for that little dump off, and he goes to a contender that way, and a quarterback who's not going to miss him that much.
Yeah, that's a good place. I like that place a lot. I think the Colts do need a number two receiver there, or possibly a number three with him being in the slot. I think that's a great position for him to play in. All right, so my pick next to my player. I'm the NFL agent of Mr. Tyrell Williams. Tyrell Williams was also part of that bowl prediction piece that I did earlier this year. And I had him actually going to the Colts as well. But because Ryan just kind of, you know, stole my thunder there, I'm going to take Tyrell Williams and I'm going to put him in Detroit instead. I think they got Kenny Golladay there. I think he's the big guy. They need a field stretcher. Tyrell, the gazelle, as they call him, is super fast. He's a great receiver that can be a complement to what Detroit wants to do. I don't know how much Marvin Jones has got left, I think, after his injuries this year, and he's kind of slowed down a little bit as well. I think Tyrell Williams can come in there, be a younger guy, give him some speed, give Matt Stafford some field stretching ability there with Tyrell. I think that he fits in perfectly. I think he fits perfectly with the Colts as well, but I think that if Ryan's going to take the Colts from me, I'll go with the Lions. All right, next up, we got the big one. This is the one everybody wants to see where they go, and I gave him to Adam. This is Mr. Le'Veon Bell. Where does he end up this year, Adam?
If I was his agent, I'd have him go to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll rely on him a ton, especially with Darnold being still young, his only coming into the second year. Them lacking a wide receiver tight end option that can be a top star. I think Bell goes in there and he doesn't miss a beat from leaving Pittsburgh. They'll use him every way plus more than what Pittsburgh used him. That's that'd honestly be Sam Darnold's security blanket, at least until they get a true receiver on that team.
All right. That's the good stuff there. I think that it was kind of the favorite position for him to go to the Jets for a while until he came out and said that he wanted to play for the Colts, which I don't see that happening. The Colts got some good running backs there. I don't think him going to Indianapolis makes any sense for the Colts. But, yeah, I like the Jets there as well. I think I actually had him – I think you may have read my piece on the bowl predictions because I had Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets in that piece as well. So, I love that call as well. And, all right, Ryan, we're going to go to your boy this time. Mr. John Brown is a free agent. Had a pretty good year this year with the Ravens, but he's a free agent now. Where's he going?
He's not staying in Baltimore. Him and Lamar Jackson did not have the chemistry. Could be part of what the offensive play calling was because they weren't prepared for him, but he's leaving. We're sending him to Green Bay. Green Bay's got $40 million in cap space, and they have a lot of question marks at receiver. They drafted three receivers to go across from Devontae Adams, who were just another big guys. No one really did that. No one's there to spread the field for them. Brandon Cooks is – or Randall Cobb. Oh, God, my brain today. Randall Cobb is – he's a slot receiver, and he's not what he used to be. John Brown can't stretch the field. He's a lot more than that. He's turned out to be a hell of a player when he's been healthy. I think sending him to Green Bay to give somebody who Aaron Rodgers can take shots to would be huge. And I think he'd love the opportunity to play for a quarterback like that. And that makes that offense all the more dynamic because they're starting to build some weapons there.
Yeah, that's a good place for him. I think if he went there, he'd be ecstatic with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to stay with that same theme, actually. I have Cole Beasley as my player. And I think that Randall Cobb will be gone, and I think Cole Beasley is the perfect replacement. I think he's sort of that quick twitch player, should be playing slot. You know, he's right now he's playing in Dallas, he's playing outside, but he can play the slot. I think he fills in for Randall Cobb perfectly, especially if they do sign John Brown. They got Devontae Adams on the outside. Cole Beasley will get the targets that he wants in that offense because they throw the ball a ton there in Green Bay. So Cole Beasley to the Packers sounds like a really good deal for me. And speaking of Randall Cobb, Adam, you have Randall Cobb, who I've just replaced with Cole Beasley. So where's Randall Cobb going?
I was stuck between the Lions and the Ravens. I think both teams could use him, but I'm going to lean towards Baltimore, especially since Ryan has John Brown leaving. Injuries have derailed him a little bit, but I think he has a solid maybe two years left. Help Lamar Jackson a little bit, give him at least another option. And him and John Brown, there's a lot of similarities outside of, you know, well, you can even really say the injury history too. They're very close to identical. You know, when Cobb's healthy, he can make big explosive plays, you know, just like a Golden Tate and stuff. A 2-3 yard catch turns into something huge. And I think that's going to benefit Lamar Jackson a ton.
Yeah, that's a good call there. All right, give us your opinion on Randall Cobb going to the Ravens, Ryan, and then talk about Jamison Crowder, who's your next player.
I'm actually sad I never thought about Randall Cobb to the Ravens. I've been just thinking about rookies there. But no, I like that a lot. I remember when he was the first round pick in fantasy. Like, Randall Cobb has talent. It's just, I feel like Green Bay's not there for him anymore, and he's been beat up. If he gets healthy, I think it'd be nice.
Good stuff.
So I have no complaints there. And then I'm actually returning the favor for you. I'm giving Jamison Crowder to Detroit. He's not quite Golden Tate, but he's a good slot receiver. He gets wide open. He can stretch the field. He's proven he can be that dude with catching a ton of passes. He's just never had the quarterback there that he's had. Kirk Cousins, who's a bit overrated, and Alex Smith, who's just Alex Smith. He had one fluke year. But, like, Jamison Crowder's good, man. People are looking at him as a top 24 fantasy receiver, and him there could give them that Golden Tate replacement. So I'm all for that.
All right, yeah, I love that pick there because I do live in Washington, D.C., and coming into the season, I love Crowder. I thought he was going to have a breakout season with him and Alex Smith. Unfortunately, he just couldn't stay healthy, and that obviously Alex Smith then got hurt, and it was just a mess from there. But I love that play there, or that pick for the Lions. I think it'll be perfect. All right, to wrap up the last round of our free agent game and the podcast, I have Mr. Robbie Anderson. Now, I do think that he realistically signs back with the Jets. But to make this interesting, I'm going to actually go with another team in the same division that's going to be that kind of lost a player similar to him this year. I think that the New England Patriots, who lost Josh Gordon, sort of that, you know, big play receiver, down the field guy, I think Robbie Anderson goes to the Patriots. He fills that void that they've been missing for quite a while since they lost Randy Moss and then, of course, Josh Gordon. They need a guy like Robbie Anderson. He'll go there, obviously play the Jets twice a year, and I think the Patriots would love to have him, especially if they come off a Super Bowl winning season this year and they are able to get Robbie Anderson on this team. I think he would fit in perfectly there with Tom Brady and the rest of those guys. So I got Anderson, though I think he gets back with the Jets. I got him in this particular game going into the Patriots.
Nah, bro, I hate that.
You hate that?
Yeah. I hate anybody. Like, nah. You know, it's a team like we all kind of glossed over who'd be nice for any of them? It's Cleveland.
That's a good call. You're right. That's a good call because they have Landry there, but he's not really that sort of receiver.
Yeah, they have $82 million in cap space.
Yeah, that's, and they could pay him a ton of money.
I mean, the Colts could play every single person we named. They have 117 left. They could buy a whole new team.
All right, that wraps up the podcast, guys. I'm going to go around the room here and get everyone's Twitter handle. I don't even know. Adam, are you on Twitter?
I'm not.
You're not. All right, well, let's give you a chance to sort of talk about Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook and where we can find you at on Facebook.
It's look up Fantasy Football Fraternity. We're right there. We're getting a huge following, and this year we're expanding more. We're still, our main focus is on fantasy, but now we're branching out to actually covering the draft now, releasing scouting reports. Some mock drafts will be out soon. So yeah, just everybody come follow us, like us on Facebook. If you have your questions on Sundays, we answer them super early. We make sure we answer everybody, all the messages, and it's a good place for your fantasy football advice.
Yeah, it's a great place, guys. I definitely checked it out. I think they have, 40,000 followers right now. So some great stuff that they're doing over there. And that's kind of how I found Adam through somebody else. Ed Fingerhunt, who's been on the show before, kind of referred Adam to us for this podcast tonight. So appreciate Adam coming on such short notice. And Ryan, where can we find you at? You haven't been on a show in so long, we forgot.
I'm off the grid now. Nowhere. I'm just kidding. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Searfoss at Fantasy FB Connect. You can find me, obviously, going for two. I'll be putting out a mock draft this week, hopefully early in the week if get everything finished up. You can find me at Fantasy Football Connect on Facebook. Our group is nowhere near as big, but mainly on Twitter and mainly on here. So catch you guys there.
Good stuff. All right, of course, y'all know me. I'm Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Facebook at JeffLambert77. You can always find me on Going for Two. And just a quick promo, we're going to be having our Super Bowl preview piece coming out here pretty soon. We do it different than most sites do. We don't just go out and give you a preview. I actually do an interview style with all my writers. I ask them each a few questions each. They give their opinions on what they think is going to happen in the Super Bowl. We all pick our picks, and we put it out there. So that should be out, I would think, Monday or Tuesday. So definitely check that out. It'll be a Super Bowl preview Going for Two style. With that said, guys, for Ryan, for Adam, I'm Jeff. Have a good night.
All right, peace.
All right, let's just get GarageBand set.